Tuesday the 23rd of October, Rabbi Rashi Simon, Hospitality in Sodom.
Good morning. Since our subject today is hospitality in Sodom, I think it's appropriate, as always, we've talked before, Aksanya, an honor to have been invited here today, and to share with you some thoughts on a very well-known and yet in some ways almost opaque incident in the lives of the Avos. Of course, we're talking here about Lot in particular, and as we will see, the influence of Avram Avinu on the conduct of Lot is dramatic, and yet Lot is a complex personality and a conflicted personality. And for that reason, the incident of the Malachim in Sodom, I think, warrants our particular close attention, which I'd like to address this morning. The incident of the Malachim in Sodom begins Ve'avoshina HaMalachim Sodoma Ba'erev. Now, the Malachim, of course, were three who visited Avram Avinu. One of them did his job and he moved on, and the two Malachim arrived to Sodom. Vayavo, Aveoshna Malachim Sodom, Aveoshna Malachim Sodom, Aveoshna Malachim Sodom. Now, we know already that Lot is living in Sodom. That has already been established in last week's parasha, that Lot made his way to Sodom, and Avram Avinu had already rescued him on one occasion. Vayoshe Bishar Sodom. So why does it say he was in the gate of Sodom? Why not just he's living in Sodom, which, as I say, we already know? So the Tur al HaTorah says that he was living Bishar Sodom, he was dwelling in the gate of the city rather than, so to speak, in the midst of the city. The Tur says, Lehisrachet Mishchunasam, because Lot wanted to distance himself from the main settlement of Sodom. In other words, he recognized that their influence was not a sympathetic one. So he's, so to speak, positioning himself near the gate so that he would be just on the edge of Sodom. Of course, this is mahafich bizchusov, because according to Rashi, it was just the opposite. Not only was Lot living among the people of Sodom, but he was a shofate. And this, of course, is a remarkable irony. The notion that Lot has become the Lord Chief Justice of Sodom. He's a shofet hashoftim. He's become like the Av Beis Din of Sodom, which is a very ironic description. It's almost a contradiction in terms. A place which is the watchword, the paradigm of misanthropy, of malevolence, and of greed, that they should have a justice, a system of justice, and that Lot should be the judge in Sodom. The stage is already set for the irony which is going to follow. Vayar Lot, Vayakam Nikrasam, Lot saw them, he rose to greet them, Yishtachu Apayim Arza, he bowed down to them. And as we know, Lot immediately welcomes them. Vayomer, Hineinu Adonai, Suruna al Beis Abdechem, please enter the home of your servant, Velinu, and spend the night, Vorachatzu Ragleichem, and refresh yourselves, Vishkamtem, and then in the morning, Valachtem Ledarkechem, you can go on. Which is, of course, a perfect echo to what the Malachim had just experienced in the Ohel Avram and Sarah. He obviously had learned the Mid of Achnasis Orchim from his uncle Avram Avinu, and Rashi says that as well. So we have again a picture of a complex personality. On the one hand, he's the first citizen of Sodom. He's the very epitome of the Sodom society. He's risen to great influence within Sodom, and Sodom no doubt has influenced him as well, but at the same time he reflects the values, the chesed that he learned in the home of Avram Avinu. Just derech agav, the word Adonai, hinei na Adonai, it's the plural of Adon. In other words, it's chol. It's not addressing Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Bachaya says something very interesting. He says that the word Adonai is spelt with a patach, and that's how we know that it's a chol. And the Targum says as well, V'omar bevau ka'an rabonai. He's addressing them in the plural. Rabbeinu Bachaya says something very beautiful about the letters and about the vocalization, the vowels, the nekudos. He says, "Hinei kol zemi chachmas torasenu helukis ulushonenu hakadosha." This is from our divine and our holy language. And for this reason, the letters are likened to the body, but the vowels, the nekudos, what we used to call the dots, are the neshama, the very soul. Because without the nekudos, you cannot pronounce the letters, the consonants. Just as the soul animates the body. And he quotes the Sefer HaBahir, "Damien nekudasa de asvasa de oraisa de moshe kinishmasa de chaye begufa de imish," which is just the same thing in more impressive language. Do this in Aramaic. Just as a further aside, Rabbeinu Bachaya was keen to highlight the beauty and even the divinity of the Hebrew language, because in the medieval period, those Jews, especially the ones who lived among Muslim and within Muslim influence, were very keen to emphasize the qualities of the Hebrew language, because the Muslims, even to this day, were extremely proud of the Arabic language, which is a very beautiful language and a language which is very well given to song and to poetry. And this is why the highest art form in Muslim life, even to this day, is calligraphy and is poetry, because part of their proof, the havdil, to the divinity of the Quran, is the extreme beauty and profundity of the Arabic language. And this is why the Jewish poets, even those who lived in Arab lands, who wrote a lot of their writings in Arabic, they never wrote poetry in Arabic. Because their whole point was, no, they didn't write poetry in Arabic. They wrote poetry only in Hebrew, only in the Lashon HaKodesh. Because they wanted to show that the Lashon HaKodesh, Lahavdil, has just the same beauty and the same profundity and the same divine origins and a much greater origin than the Arabic language. And this is part of why you do find from time to time these pagans to the Hebrew language, because they were keen to show how Hebrew is a greatly superior language to Arabic, although the languages are somewhat related from a philological standpoint. Be that as it may, you find later on where in Pasuk Yudches, I think, where Lot says, later on, Vayomer Lot Aleihem Al Na, and there you have the word with a comma, and there it's a machlokas rishon really, but the Targum says it's kodesh. So again, Adonai with a patach is chol, but with a comma it's kodesh, and this is reflected in the usage of the term here. But all of this is just derech agav. Anyway, as we know, the Malachim at first decline the invitation, and they say, "Lo, no, we won't take your hospitality. Kibarachov nalin, we will just stay overnight here. We'll sleep rough tonight." We tzabam the od, and he insisted. He importuned them. We could even say, and they agree. And again, here you see the hashuah of Avraham Avinu, that he doesn't take no for an answer. He doesn't just invite them as a sort of reflex, as a courteous reflex, but he really means invitation. And when they first decline, he insists, "Vayif tzarba." And so they do accept the invitation. And we see Lot almost as living a dual life. He's conflicted. On the one hand, he's charitable. He is about chesed. He wants to give to others. At the same time, as we know very well, he chose to live in Sodom in the first place. Kikulo mashkef, because he liked the whiskey. No, he liked it because it was verdant, because it was productive, because it was rich, because of the material opportunities. And the truth is that although we pour scorn on Lot, some of his conflict is something I think that we can relate to. On the one hand, he is charitable, but at the same time, he is avaricious. He went there for the greed, but at the same time, he wants to share what he has. So, as I say, Lod emerges as a complex, but in some ways a very human figure, someone who is motivated to perform acts of chesed, while at the same time he is tempted, and he has succumbed to that temptation to live among the people of Sodom. But of course, the worst is yet to come. So he invites them in, and they are not there for long. They tell him of their intentions. Their purpose is to overturn the city. And immediately, immediately the people of Sodom surround the house. Ayehan Hashim Ashebo, Elecha Halayla, where are those people? You've accepted guests here in Sodom. This is a flagrant violation of the penal code to accept guests, to invite guests. Hotzi'eim Eilein V'nida'osam. Deliver them to us so that we may know them. And, of course, this turn of phrase, V'nida'osam, has a sinister connotation, and as Rashi says, the Mishkav Zachar, and we have to wonder, why is it that the people of Sodom were so hostile and were so, as I say, misanthropic? Not only did they want to throw them out, but they wanted to sodomize them as well, which of course is the derivation of that word. And the answer lies in an appreciation of the concept of chesed. What we have here is chesed in its distorted form. Because how does Lot respond to their demands? So he says, steps outside, and he says, "Vayomar ana achai tareyu, don't act in such a wanton way. I've got a proposal for you. Hinena li shtei vanos, asher lo yadu ish. I've got two daughters, asher lo yadu ish. You say v'nidah osam. I've got a better proposal. I've got two daughters, asher lo yadu ish. He's offering his daughters as sacrifices to appease the lust of the mob. Rach ba'anashim ha'el, la'anashim ha'el al tasu davar. Just don't do anything to molest my guests. And here we see the distortion of Lot's idea of chesed. There is nothing in the Torah of Abraham Avinu to justify such an indecent proposal, to borrow a phrase. The suggestion that he's going to offer his daughters as a sacrifice in order to protect his guests, it's chesed run amok. His desire to assist and to shelter his guests leads him to propose that his daughters should be the victims instead. But there's something deeper here as well, because within this scenario, within this unseemly scenario where they say, deliver those men v'nedaosam, we have an insight into the concept of chesed and its distortions. I'm sure that this very learned group is aware of the fact that the word chesed is used also in the context of immorality, of incest. The pasuk says, incest is also called chesed. The Torah calls this an act of chesed. Now, maybe it's not the simple chat, but I'm sure you are aware that the Chazal say, well, this hints to the pasuk Olam Chesed Ibaneh. And Tehillim Olam Chesed Yibaneh, that the world was only propagated through a relationship which, on the face of it, was incestuous, because the early generations of mankind had no one else with whom to consort other than their own close sisters, the next of kin, and therefore Olam Chesed Yibaneh. But of course, there's something much deeper here as well, because intimacy in the natural way is the highest expression of chesed. It's giving, it's sharing, it's merging together, and it's for a productive purpose. It's for something creative. And that is what chesed is all about. But by its very nature, the distortion of that, if it's homosexual rape, which is what the people of Sodom are proposing, it becomes the very paradigm of anti-chesed. Because firstly, it's coercive. So since it's coercive, then it's not an act of kindness, just the opposite. And because it's Mishkav Zachar, so there's no potential for creativity. It's purely for self-gratification, and it's at the expense of a victim. And therefore it becomes the most extreme manifestation of the anti-chesed. That's why the people of Sodom are proposing that we would like to assault your guests to show you what form chesed takes around here. Lot, for his part, unfortunately, doesn't quite have the right end of the stick, and he proposes, as I say, to sacrifice his daughters all for the cause, because of his notion of what chesed is all about. But the story unfolds further, as you know. This kind of exaggerated chesed reflects the fact that Lot has absorbed from the house of Avram Avinu the appreciation for chesed, but without its boundaries. It's a kind of exaggerated, obsessive chesed that has no discipline, that has no natural parameters. Avram, when circumstances required it, although he did so reluctantly, he drove out Hagar, he drove out Ishmael, because Avram Avinu recognized the limits of chesed. Lot is chesed run amok. It's chesed without any parameters. It's chesed without any restraint. In fact, I once saw a sign that said, "Love your neighbor, but don't get caught." And this is Lot's idea of chesed that's untrammeled and extreme. The story unfolds, and the Malachim encourage them to leave with all urgency. And they say, "Who do you have here? What family members?" And of course, Lot has four daughters, two of whom are married, and for his sons-in-law, the whole thing was a great joke. So they stayed behind. So he left with his wife, as we know, and the two daughters. His wife also ended up staying behind. Just as an aside, there's another, I see my good friend Ronnie Joseph here. So I just want to say, Ronnie, of course, as you know, the Bal Korei of the generation, now that segol al nafshecha is a bit unusual. It doesn't really belong there. It should be himalet al nafshecha. But Yaakov Kamenetsky says the segol is there for the greater emphasis, because when you just say the words vahiko tiyam osam hachutzah, when they were taking them out, the malachim were leading the family away from the congregation, vayomi himalet al nafshecha, which we would say in English, run for your life. The emphasis on now al nafshecha, you've got to flee. And Rashi says so poignantly, he says, al tachus dayach al hatzil nefashos, al tachus al hamamon, you'll be lucky to get away with your life, forget about your property. Himalet al nafshecha. And of course his wife was not quite prepared, and that's why you have the famous shalsheles, which follows. Find it, Vismama, where is it? Okay, yeah, just before that, Vismama, that he tarried, and of course she tarried, and eventually as a result she perhaps stayed behind because she was unwilling to part with all of that wealth and all the property they had amassed during their sojourn in Sodom. But of course it all came to a bitter end, and Lot alone survived together with his two daughters. But the story continues, and we'll see the pattern, this notion of chesed and its distortions play itself out still as they take refuge somewhere in the mountains. The Torah describes how they have survived. As far as they're concerned, the whole world is destroyed. But they did not have the appreciation of a great wide world. And some of the Mephoshim say that even Avram Avinu, they didn't know if he had survived, or maybe he was too old to have children as far as the Lot and his daughters knew. And therefore, we find that fateful phrase, V'atomah b'chiyal atzira, Avinu zaken v'ish ein ba'aretz lavo eleinu gederach kol haaretz. Our father is old, and there's no one who will marry us kederach kol haaretz. So Radach, by the way, says that there are no women here. Maybe some will listen on the high tech methodology here. But he says something very poignant. He says, they thought no one's going to want to marry us. You know, our shidduch prospects are very dim, because they're going to say, these are the survivors from Sodom. You know what happened to Sodom? Stay away from that family. So that's what they meant. That, yeah, there may be people around, but there's no one around for us. No one's going to take us. We're doomed. We're doomed to eternal spinsterhood. But anyway, the simple pshat is, they thought that the whole world had been destroyed. Just as it was destroyed in the days of Noah, it's been destroyed now as well. So they felt it's all starting over again. Olam chesed yibaneh is the only way the world can be propagated. So therefore, lechan hashkes avinu yain v'nishka v'aymo v'nichye u'nichaye me'avinu zara. But hashkenas avin yain b'layla hu. So they gave their father wine to drink that night. B'layla hu. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, it says b'layla hu. It should really say b'layla hahu. On that night. He says, "Balayla hu, hu is a remnant of Hakadosh Baruch Hu." That it was a xeris irin, it was a divine inspiration, and this is what the Gemara calls an avera lishma. And of course, this is another act of incest, which is chesed. V'tavah b'chirav tishkav asaviya v'lo yada b'shichva v'kuma. So the elder daughter consorted with her father, and then the younger daughter did the same. And of course, the children that were born from that relationship, one of them was called Moab, the other was called Ammon, and so it was. This event, though, as I say, is fateful. It will have repercussions that will reverberate throughout history. Because, as we know, from that relationship, from that child of Moab, would emerge a nation that would be hostile to the Jewish people, and yet their destinies would be parallel and intertwined, as we very well know. Because we find that from that nation, from Moab, would emerge a woman called Ruth, and she would be the ancestress of David HaMelech and ultimately of Mashiach as well. And this at first blush seems so very ironic. The tainted, murky roots of Mashiach, that the seed that was planted in Sodom or its environs, and we have to wonder, is it not bizarre? How can we understand this? We find something else very interesting, though, because later on the Torah says about Moab that as follows in Dvarim, Lo yavo amoni u'moavi b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yavo lahem b'kal Hashem ad olam. The nation of Moab, they may never join the Jewish people, even if they convert to become Jewish. They may be Jewish, but you can't marry them and they can't marry us. Why not? We don't find such a strong condemnation of other nations, even other nations that have done to us much worse, so it would seem. So the Torah says, Al dvar shelo kidmu eschem belechem uvamayim. This is a most ironic reason. You know why Moab must be shunned? Why a Moabite, a male Moabite, may never marry into the Jewish faith community? Because they didn't come to greet you, b'lechem of a mayim b'derech b'tzeischem b'mitzrayim. And in addition, Asher sachar lecha Bilam ben Beor mipsoa Aram naharayim b'kalaleka. Besides which, they got Bilam involved, and we know what Bilam was all about. Very strange. Is this the worst that any nation has done to us? Shelo kidmu eschem belechem uvamayim. They didn't greet you with bread and with water. But the explanation is that Moab was sired in chesed. Moab was a result of an act of chesed, distorted, perverse, contorted, but chesed ran through the veins of Moab. Besides which, as we know from the story we've just been describing, Moab was a blood relative to Klal Yisrael. At the end of the day, Lot was a nephew of Avram Avinu. I don't know if they're third cousins or fourth cousins, you work it down through the generations, but even so, they were related. They were related. Moab was a relative of Yaakov Avinu. Probably a third cousin once removed, however you work it out. But they were related. And, more to the point, they had absorbed, whether through training or through genetic influence, the chesed of Avram Avinu, which means that they overcame their natural chesed because of their hatred of Klal Yisrael. Their natural quality, their natural tendency would have been to greet us b'lechem u'b'mayim. That's why another nation we don't have that taina against, because they don't. Maybe they're not so friendly, those other people. But Moab is all about chesed, and therefore they naturally would have greeted us b'lechem u'b'mayim. And the reason they didn't is only because they allowed their hatred to neutralize their natural tendency for chesed. Moreover, this is where we find that how did Bilam eventually succeed in harming Klal Yisrael? How did he succeed? His curses were all to no avail, but eventually he came up with a plan which was only too successful. And his plan was, of course, through that same quality of chesed run amok. And we find something remarkable that the Gemara says, just very briefly, the Gemara says that the Bilam had the ability to curse. Yodei Adas Elyon, he had the ability to curse. How could he curse? Because he was able to identify the moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry every day. Hashem was angry for a rega, so he was going to exploit that moment. He was going to say, you know, how much can you say in an instant? Not very much. You could say kalein, and that was his intention. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu thwarted Bilam's efforts by not getting angry that day. The whole time when Bilam was stalking around the midbar trying to find a good way to curse Klal Yisrael, Hashem didn't get angry that day. He was frustrated. But because of the absence of Hashem gets angry every day for a moment in order to balance the chesed and the din. Do you understand? Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was acting with chesed, there's a moment of din, a moment of stern justice. And that moment of justice creates the balance. So there was no moment of justice then, because Hashem wanted only rachamim in order to thwart Bilam, because Bilam would have exploited the midas ha-din. So therefore, there was too much rachamim about. There was too much chesed. And Bilam was able to exploit the excess of chesed to lead Klal Yisrael to their downfall with the Benos Moab. So we find that Moab is all about chesed, about maybe distorted chesed, about exploiting chesed, and this is why Rus was the descendant of Moab, because she had running through her veins that pure strain of chesed. There was some chesed within Moab from Lot and from Abraham Avinu, which was untainted, which was perfect. So that's why it says Moabi v'lo Moabi, that Ruth was allowed to enter Klal Yisrael, because she represents that descendant of Moab, that strain, that spark of pure chesed that was reunited with Klal Yisrael and came into the Jewish people. And this is why David HaMelech represents Malchut Shel Chesed. And finally, this is why we have in the book of Ruth, we have the following words: "Vezos tefanim b'Yisrael al ha'geula v'al ha'tzmura l'kayim kol devar shalaf ish na'alov v'nasan re'ehu v'zos ha'tu'udah b'Yisrael." This was done in Israel in cases of redemption and exchange to validate any matter. One would draw off his shoe. Drawing off the shoe is associated with chalitza. Chalitza represents symbolically the restoration of the soul of the deceased back into this world, because drawing off the shoe is to the foot like the body is to the soul. So the idea of the Yibum is the means of reuniting, of restoring that soul into the world and into Klal Yisrael. Rus represents that strain of chesed that was uncontaminated, that was untrammeled, that was pure, and that had therefore to be reunited eventually with Klal Yisrael. So this is the hospitality of Sodom, and this is why the chesed Nachnasas Orchim is not just incidental to the story, but lies at the very heart of the story and gives us an insight into the right balance and the role of chesed, and eventually, as we see, she became the ancestress of David Hamelech and of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Shiavu Meher Amen. Thank you.
Amen.